Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine does it again!
A late shot on the window!
The finisher, Lauri Markkanen!
The crossover, LaVine!
Get it up or get out the way, Trae Young!
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm with Jason Pat. Jason, a crazy week for the Bulls. We got Luke Kornet starting. We got Cristiano Felicio rotation minutes. And less surprisingly, we got a 2-2 record where the Bulls lost to the two good teams they played and beat the two bad teams they played. Of course, it wasn't easy because it never is with the Bulls. They are now 3.5 games out of the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference as we start recording this. That would be the Nets, who have also really been struggling lately. They lost by like 20 or 30 last night to the Bucks, I think. The Bulls are 16-28 overall, and they're also behind the Pistons in the standings too by half a game. So right now the Bulls are the 10th seed in the East. This was a pretty fun week, I think, just because of that Cavs game yesterday. Did you pay attention to that comeback?
I know that they were down 19 late in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, obviously a ton of Zach LaVine. We're going to talk a lot about Zach LaVine on this podcast, just how he's pushing for an All-Star berth. He scored, I said, 21 points of his 42 points in the fourth quarter, and obviously the Cavs also kind of, they choked. I mean, the Bulls have had a few games like this year against some of these bad teams where they've just pulled wins. I know they've had their share of also choke jobs, but like, this is kind of reminiscent, I guess, of that Wizards game where the Wizards just couldn't do anything down the stretch for a long portion of the fourth quarter. It's basically what happened with the Cavs yesterday. I think they went something, it was a 15-point game going into the fourth quarter, and then the Cavs had a bucket early in the fourth, and they were up 14. And then they went something like 5 minutes, I think, straight without scoring at all. So it was like a 104-90 game turned into, I think, the Bulls came back and took the lead, and then it was kind of back and forth down the stretch. Zach LaVine, obviously, crazy shot-making, as I said. And they pull it. I mean, it's just and after the game when they did it was just such a weird, another just weird feeling. Like, you feel good for Zach. Like, it's a fun game to watch. He puts up all these points. He's making this All-Star push. But again, they were down 19 to the fucking Cavs, who are, they're 12-31. They're absolutely horrible. And the Cavs were just roasting the Bulls all night long until they all of a sudden they just fell apart. They were throwing the ball all over the place. I think they had like 26 total turnovers for the game, and I think that was double digits in the fourth quarter. Just obviously the Bulls deserve some credit for not mailing it in. They've had, again, that's one thing that they've done pretty well this year, is that they don't just give up and roll over when they easily could have, considering how well the Cavs are shooting, how well the Cavs are roasting them defensively. They forced a bunch of turnovers, scoring all those turnovers that helped them get back in the game and helped them win. But again, it's just like hard to feel like great about them. Like, again, they win two games. They beat the Wizards again earlier in this week. Zach LaVine outplayed Bradley Beal. But I mean, you beat the Wizards and you beat the Cavs, and then you play real teams. They basically got blown out by Boston, and they lost by 11. They only scored 89 points in Philly. So it's just the same thing. They're something like 1-17 against teams above 500. They've been slaying bums great lately. I just looked it up. I think they're like 9-4, 9-5 since the beginning of December against sub 500 teams. So like, since that they lost those like Warriors games, they've basically been taking care of business against bad teams and teams that are playing crappy. So it's like, I mean, I guess it's okay that they're not a complete joke, but like, they're basically a few Zach LaVine miracle games away from being right there with the Cavs. I mean, like you said, they're 16-28. Like that Hornets game, that Wizards game, that Cavs game, like where they just completely pull games out of their butt. They lose maybe two of those instead, and you're looking at a team that's 14-30 right now, and just like a complete disaster. If they would have actually lost a game last night, I mean, we're looking at 15-29. They got the Bucks on Monday, so it's like, I don't even know what to think of this team. I feel good for Zach LaVine. Again, we're going to talk about him and his All-Star case a lot. It's nice to see him playing well. He's averaging like almost 31 a game this month, but overall, in terms of like the Bulls as a team and where they're going, just like, just kind of more of the same. I think they're just kind of meandering along. I think they're probably going to get like the 9 seed. I don't know. What are you feeling about how the Bulls are looking
just,
right now?
Yeah, it's just, like you said, more of the same. So their record against teams that currently have a 500 or better record is 1-17. They beat the Clippers in that one game without Kawhi, without Lou Williams, without Pat Bev. That was the only time the Bulls have beat a legitimately good team all season. 1-17, completely pathetic. You look at where they've gotten their wins combined against the Wizards, the Hawks, and the Pistons. They're 9-0. So that's 9 of their 16 wins. And I don't think they play any of those three teams again the rest of the way.
No, I think they're done. And they beat the Grizzlies. They beat the Grizzlies a couple times early in the year. One of those games was without Ja Morant, and the Grizzlies are playing much better now. The other one was a huge Kobe White game, huge Zach LaVine game, where I think they were down like 13 or 14. Kobe got hot in the second half and went off, and they pulled that one out on the road. So, yeah, they haven't beaten anybody good. And the Clippers game, we've talked about this before, was like the Clippers got in super late, and Doc Rivers was mad about their schedule and how it got changed the night before. So like they have one win again. And they've come close. They were competitive in a few games. There was that Raptors game, the Heat game that went to overtime. So they've come close, but still like they're 1-17 against teams above 500. So it's just like what are we even doing here? Like they have some of these fun games. They bum slay a bit, but ultimately in terms of like. Having any actual success, like no, and they are still in this playoff race because, like you said, the Nets are a complete joke right now. I think they're 18-23. The Magic just lost to the Warriors, so like they're just right above the Nets. I think they did have a nice win against the Lakers. Markelle Fultz played really well, so that was cool to see. But they've lost a couple in a row now, I think, as well. So like the Bulls are just going to stay in this kind of in this playoff race by virtue of beating bad teams, and the other teams just not any good. So like. I tweeted about this again last night after they win this game. Like, it just feels, and I think I mentioned this last week in the pod, it feels like they're just on track to win, like, low 30s, be kind of in this playoff race, and they think that everything's fine. That they made, like, we took care of business against bad teams all year, so that's, like, a great step in our development. Like, now we're just going to have to work on beating the good teams, and they're going to think it's totally fine, and that feels like it'd be, like, the worst-case scenario.
Yeah, so that brings us to Zach LaVine. So yeah. Zach LaVine on the month in January is averaging 30 a game on 50% shooting from the field, 81% foul shooting, 37% three-point shooting. That's in the month of January. On the season, he's averaging 25 a game now. So really, what do the Bulls want to accomplish the rest of this year? From the organization's perspective, they would love for Zach LaVine to be an All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
If you've watched a Bulls game recently, they are really pushing LaVine for All-Star hard. Obviously, the game's in Chicago this year. I think that it would help the Bulls save face a little bit in the Jimmy Butler trade to say they were able to acquire an All-Star. From Zach's perspective, he's been talking openly about wanting to have that honor. He said that he's more likely to participate in the dunk contest if he's selected for the actual game. Now, I've always liked Zach, dating back to his days at UCLA. I think it would be great for him to make the All-Star game personally. It would probably be good, too, for the Bulls in terms of Zach's trade value moving forward. You look at someone like D'Angelo Russell last year saying that he's an All-Star point guard or whatever. Him and LaVine are a little similar, I think, in terms of how they get their numbers, but also how it comes at a cost of, like, impact on winning. So I think it would be good for LaVine to be an All-Star, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the rest of the Eastern Conference right now, and these are the players that are almost certainly going to get in. So we got Kemba Walker. We got Trae Young, who I don't think Trae Young's case is really that good, but he is the leading vote-getter right now amongst Eastern Conference guards. We're going to mark him as safe for now, and we can circle back to that later if you want to.
Yeah.
We got Giannis, we got Jimmy, and we got Embiid rounding out the starting lineup. Then on the bench, I think Ben Simmons is a lock.
Yep.
Siakam's a lock. Jason Tatum's a lock. Bam Adebayo's a lock. Chris Middleton should be a lock. So then you have two spots left. I think there's five guys who could get these two spots, and we'll run through them. The first one's Zach LaVine. Then we have Domantas Sabonis. We have Malcolm Brogdon. We have Bradley Beal, and we have D. Rose. So you would think the Pacers should get an All-Star.
They should. Right? They'll get at least one. I know Brogdon's missed some time. I would guess that one of those guys will go. For sure. I'm not sure which one, but I think one of them will go. Because they're like 25. They're on pace for over 50 wins, and they haven't had Oladipo all year, and they've had a ton of injuries. Like, so they definitely deserve to get at least one guy.
So then we have Bradley Beal, who's putting up huge offensive numbers. He's averaging 27.2 a game. It's a little more than LaVine's 25 a game. Obviously, he's also on a really bad team, similar to LaVine, an even worse team than LaVine. And very quietly, Bradley Beal is grading out as one of the worst defensive players in the NBA this year. His defensive metrics are significantly worse than LaVine's. PIPM, which is one of the best advanced stats, it gives sort of an offensive and defensive rating where zero is average. Beal's defense is -4 right now, which is terrible. LaVine's is -1.93, so also not very impressive. But Beal, really good offensive player. obviously averaging 27 a game. He's putting up a plus 2.75 offensive PIPM. Levine's at 1.83. I think given the fact that Beal's defense is so bad and that his team is so bad, I think you can make a case for Levine. So if it's up to me, I would have Sabonis get one of those spots, and I think Levine deserves the other one. I think so, because then it's like him versus Brogdon, Beal, or D. Rose. I think that, you know, you can...
Have you mentioned Kyle Lowry?
I haven't mentioned Lowry. He was hurt for a while.
He did obviously. Play... Him and Siakam have both played, like, just over 30 games. Lowry's at 20 points, 8 assists, 4.5 rebounds. He's obviously, like, the heart and soul of that team. Like, and he's got just, like, the pedigree. Like, I do wonder if... Like, especially, like, how is the voting working? Obviously, like, fan voting's part of it, and then the coaches vote the reserves. Is that still how it works?
Yeah, it all counts as... I think the fan voting counts as 50%.
Right,
yeah.
The
other two count as 50%.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I could see the coaches vote in a guy like Lowry. Yeah. Just because, like, what he means to the Raptors, and the Raptors are still really good, even though Kawhi's gone, Danny Green's gone, and both Siakam and Lowry have missed time, so... I mean, the Beal case is interesting. Levine's outplayed him both games. Obviously, I mentioned that first Wizards game was that huge comeback. Beal was terrible in that game. It was awful all game. He finally hit the one shot that looked like it was gonna be the game winner in regulation, but then there was the stupid fouls that they committed, and Levine hit all those free throws. Chris Dunn basically locked up Beal that game, and then this past week, Levine outplayed Beal again in another Bulls win. This was another game where the Bulls, they were losing in the fourth quarter, and then Levine kind of went off again. Down the stretch. So, I mean, Levine head-to-head's been better. I said that Beal does have those scoring numbers, but his efficiency, I'm pretty sure, has been down in general. I know you mentioned that his PIPM offensively has been really good, but I'm pretty sure he's only shooting like 31, 32% from three this year.
So, yeah, his three-point shooting is down. His true shooting, Beal's, is 55.5. Levine's is 57.1. So Levine is a little bit more efficient as a scorer this year.
And that's another case where I do wonder if... Just like Beal's, just like track record helps him, but he came out. He was apparently really pissed after that Bulls game. He was talking about like the culture and stuff. I wonder if maybe if he's like grousing, and if that, and obviously the Wizards are really bad, if they'll hold that against him. Like, I don't know. Levine, you could definitely make the case for Levine over Beal, but I do wonder. I think what's gonna hurt Levine's case. He hasn't been that. I haven't actually added all these numbers up, but if you look at the Bulls, we talk about their 1-17 record against bad teams. He obviously had a big. I'm just looking at some of like his numbers here. He obviously put up pretty big numbers against the Celtics last week, but like and like during the stretch, while the Bulls are only like 3-6 or 3-7 this month, Levine has been putting up pretty big numbers. But especially at he got off to a bad start, and that. Hurt the Bulls was the Bulls got off to a bad start. He's had a few he has not played well against the Bucks. There was that back-to-back against both games against the Heat. He was really bad, and he was obviously pulled from that one game. And there was that game against the Raptors. That back-to-back against the Heat Raptors where Zach had 5 of 19 shooting, 6 of 18 shooting. So he's had a few clunkers against really good teams. Like I said, he's been a bit better against better teams lately just because he's been on fire in general this month. And I guess if you look to start the year against the Jazz, to start like 2020, he was 9 of 26 in a close loss. So if he was a little better in that game. So like, he's obviously putting up great numbers. You just do wonder like if people look at him as like still an empty stats guy because the Bulls are not good. And because if you look at this, his game, his shooting or his just performance against good teams, is just not even close to what it is against some of these bums. Like, I do wonder if he's going to be viewed as like a bum slayer and just a guy who gets buckets on a bad team, which I mean, that's the case against him, but compared to some of these other guys, I do wonder if they're going to go with like the winners instead.
Yeah, Lowry is an interesting name. I didn't actually have him on my original list of five, but Lowry has for sure been a way more impactful player. He should get extra credit for winning the championship last year. Just historically, he's just a much better player than Zach, like no doubt about it. Kyle Lowry is one of the most underrated players of his generation, and he probably does deserve an All-Star nod, all things considered, because the Raptors have been really good this year without Kawhi, and when he's been in the game, when he's been healthy enough to play, he's been awesome. So that's basically what Zach is up against. I think that you can probably make a case for him and Sabonis getting the last two spots. But if it's between, you know, Levine, Beal, and Rose, I think Levine has a pretty strong argument. If you throw Lowry in there, Kyle Lowry from Toronto, then it gets tougher for LaVine.
Yeah, I think he honestly might be like the 13th guy. So like maybe if there's like a replacement, he ends up getting in or something. But he definitely feels like, because I think one Pacers guy is going to go. They need one All Star, and then it'll probably be like Lowry and Siakam will probably both make it. And that the Trae Young thing is also obviously he's leading. I think still in Eastern Conference. His numbers are so huge, even though the Hawks are such trash and his defense is so bad. I feel like his numbers are so huge that if it was just like Trae versus LaVine, I think I'd probably still go with Trae, because he's at 28 points a game and like 8 or 9 assists a game. So just the fact that he and their offense goes from like pretty damn good with him to just like historically bad without him. So it's like, it's obviously not all his fault that the Hawks are whatever, like 10 wins this year, whatever they are. The Bulls have beat their ass 3 times. So like, I would probably take Trae over LaVine still if it was just them head-to-head. Obviously, with the voting, I think he seems like a lock either way. So yeah, right now it feels like LaVine's going to be like the next guy out after the top 12.
Well, Embiid's hurt right now. Maybe, like, Embiid's supposed to be back before the All-Star game, but maybe that's one that could be an injury replacement. But yeah, I don't know. Like, the Bulls are really pushing for LaVine. Now, you know, the unspoken part of this is like, we don't want the Bulls to feel some semblance of joy. We don't want John Paxson to be like, yeah, I acquired an All-Star for Jimmy Butler. No, because that trade, whether LaVine makes the All-Star team or not, the trade remains just as bad as it's always been, right? Like, LaVine is what he is. He's a really good secondary scoring option. The Bulls have miscast him as a number one option, and he's just not a good enough decision maker on a consistent basis or a good enough two-way player to actually impact the team and boost him up the standings in terms of wins. He has bailed him out with his offense countless times. He is basically an unguardable offensive player when he's on. The only person who can stop Zach LaVine is himself in terms of his decision making. But you know, the Cavs game was a premium example of how awesome LaVine can be as a shot maker and as just a go-to crunch time scorer. I would like to see him play a little more off the ball in an ideal role, but you know, that's just not the role he's in with the Bulls. And I was looking at some stats. You know, the leader in assists per game with the Bulls is Satoransky at 5.2, and then it's LaVine with 4. So we're not quite at the Shelvin Mack magic graphic where they tweeted team leader 3.7 assists or whatever it was a couple years ago, but they're close on that. And you know, I think it speaks a little bit to Lauri Markkanen's trouble this year. We can transition to him. So in the Sixers game when the Bulls lost, Markkanen was pretty good in the first half. He had 12 points. He was scoring efficiently. In the second half, he goes 0 for 2 from the field, does not score. He ends the game with fewer minutes than Thad Young. That's the 8th time this year. That stat comes from Darnell Mayberry, who wrote a great column on Markkanen at The Athletic after the game. So, you know, Markkanen on the season, his shooting has come up a little bit. He's actually up to 35% from three-point range now after being well below 30% for a lot of this season. He's putting up 15 a game, but, you know, last year he was at 18.7. His minutes are down from 32 to 30. I think that's been really disappointing. And, you know, just in general, Markkanen hasn't taken that next step we were hoping to see in the third year of his career. What are your thoughts on Lowry and sort of what do you attribute his struggles to, Jason?
Right. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, we've been talking about him a lot this year. I mean, just looking at this month, January, he's hit 20 points one time. He finally did put up 14 shots in this Cavs game. He had 17 points, but then he only had 3 rebounds. He did have a couple steals, but just like not impacting the game in other ways really much either. Like, he doesn't really get to the free throw line very much. He's only taking 2 free throws per game, basically. He's at 15-6 right now, like, which is, and his efficiency has been okay. Like, he's 46% shooting, 36% from 3. I mean, that's just like a nice role player. And we talked about this on our last like big picture pod, looking at the midway point of the season. We kind of threw a possible like extension number around. I think we were at like 460, which, I mean, right now he's basically just like a decent role player starter. Like, and that's, I mean, if you, and it's, I think it's got to be on everybody. I mean, I know Casey had those quotes after that. I think it was the, I don't know if it was a Celtics game. Yeah, I think it was a Celtics game, and he just kind of had a loss for words, like why he's not making more of an impact. I mean, before these 3 games against the Cavs, he had 9 shots against the Sixers, 1 fewer than Luke Kornet, which is ridiculous. 8 shots against the Wizards, 9 shots against the Celtics, 9 shots against the Pacers in that loss a couple Fridays ago. Just like, he's just not being involved enough. Sometimes he'll say, oh, well, this is like the system we have, and I think you could probably put some blame on Boylan and the coaching, and I mean, you could probably Zach not being that, being more of just a scorer and not as great of a decision maker in terms of like making his teammates better. The fact that they don't have like a high level point guard probably hurts. Satoransky's been solid, he's been fine, but like they don't have that high, like just a high level point guard who can break, consistently break defenses down and then may also make the right decisions. Obviously, Zach can shoot the hell out of the ball, he can score. He just doesn't always make those best, those great decisions. I guess it would be nice to see Lowry just being more aggressive in general himself. Looking at I don't want to say more post-ups are the answer because he's not that great at them, but getting him going to the basket, getting more free throw attempts. And again, 2 free throw attempts per game this month, under 2 free, and he had 2 in December as well. Earlier in this year, he was doing that a bit more. So it's just like, it's just a whole litany of issues there with Lowry. And like I said, he's not bad. Like right now, he's basically just playing like a decent starter. And I think I mentioned this on the last possible. We just might have to start like just adjusting our expectations. Like we were hoping he could be like a top scorer on a good team. Maybe he's just going to be like a nice piece for the future. Obviously, who knows what, I mean, if the Bulls can continue to just keep losing games against good teams and they just have a kind of crappy record, maybe they look to make some changes in the next few years. But I mean, Lowry was obviously a huge part of this rebuild. The fact that he has not taken that step and is just kind of plateaued is a big disappointment. It's a big reason why they're only 16-28 right now. So I don't know. What do you think is the biggest issue there?
Yeah, I would like to see him getting downhill more often, coming off curls. Definitely not post-ups. That's not the strength of his game. It never has been. So I think you can forget about feeding him the ball in the post and on the block. But I like his three-point rate has been higher this year. Unfortunately, he was struggling so much to shoot the ball early in the season that it really affected, I think, his confidence, and it affected his three-point percentage. But that's up to 35 now. Again, he's shooting over 80% on free throws. Like, he's a really good shooter. So I'm fine with him having a three-point rate over 50%. I'm fine having him take more than half of his field goals from three-point range. But they just got to get his confidence up, and they got to get him going towards the basket more often. I'd put him in the pick and roll, let him be the roll man.
Yeah.
I would have him, you know, running off some curls and getting him downhill when he catches the ball to have him going towards the basket. Maybe you can finally get to the free throw line a little bit. The idea that Lowry Markkanen's a franchise cornerstone at this point, though, like, you're just not going to have a good team if he's your second or third best player. Now, for all the reasons you previously mentioned, I do think that he could be more impactful, especially offensively, on a different team. But in general, you know, I look at Markkanen's statistical profile, and his assist rate hasn't gone up. His rebound rate has stayed pretty similar. His steal rate, his block rate have stayed similar. So he's basically the same guy he's always been. He's scoring a little bit more efficiently this year, actually, which is surprising given how poorly he was shooting the ball at the start of the season. But in general, we haven't seen him improve too much since his rookie year. I do think the minutes thing is really disappointing. Darnell's been doing a great job tracking that. You know, in Lowry's rookie year, he averaged 29.7 minutes a game, and this year he's at 30.2. Like, this is not what you wanted coming into this season when I would have ideally liked Markkanen to lead the team in field goal attempts. At this point, it's pretty obvious it's Zach's team, and the Cavs game was a perfect representation of that because without Zach, I mean, the Bulls lose that game by 20 points.
They were down. Obviously, like, they were down 20. They obviously used their defense to help turn things around. Zach actually had 5 steals and a couple blocks in that game, so good for him for making an impact there. But yeah, Zach basically, for the Bulls to win these days, it's basically they got to stay close and then they hope Zach bails them out down the stretch. Like, that's basically how they win, and they bum slate. Like, that's basically it.
I also think this, Thad Young versus Markkanen thing is really stupid. Like, basically, the narrative right now is that since Thad Young, like, made his displeasure known about how many minutes he was playing, the Bulls have been giving Thad minutes at the cost of Markkanen's minutes. Well, how about this? Don't play Luke Kornet 22 minutes. Don't play Felicio 15 minutes. These are easy changes to make for Boylan, where you can play Markkanen at the 5. Why not go to that card more often? They did it in crunch time against the Cavs. I think that helped them come back a little bit. So I would like to see more Markkanen and Thad together because I think they do complement each other pretty well. Like, the Bulls have terribly misused Thad Young this year, having him shoot so many threes when in reality he's at his best as a pick and roll finisher. I think that Markkanen can then space the floor on the other side of that and that they work well together. So I would like to see more Thad and Markkanen together, not Thad and Markkanen pitted against each other.
Yeah, and like, Felicio played 14 minutes against the Cavs, minus 11, 3 fouls. terrible. We know he's terrible. Like, and he's played a few games now. I think he played he played in the Sixers game. He did have 5 points, 2 of 2. Whoop de doo. He was a minus Sixers game. He played 14 minutes. It was a minus 16. Like, that's, you're killing yourself by playing him. Don't play him. Like you said, play Markkanen played 29 minutes in that game. Cornet played 28, and Felicio played 14. Play Markkanen 35 minutes a game. Like, what are you even doing here? Like, why is Cristiano Felicio playing any minutes at all when he's clearly just a drain on you? Just what is that? So that's last two nights, minus 27 overall and like 28 minutes. It's basically the same plus minus as the amount of minutes played. He played, I think, against the Wizards too, and Boylan had some dumb comment about how Chris like helped them win a game. Like, I think he played like 5 minutes, or he played a few minutes and was like a minus 5. So like, again, just a complete drain. Play Markkanen and Thad Young more. Get Markkanen's minutes up. Like, even if he's not the guy that we hoped he is or whatever, still, he should. 30 minutes a game is ridiculous for him at this point. I know, like, you don't want to overplay guys, but, like, Lowry's young. He can play instead of 20. What is it? What do you say he was at 29? He's at 30.2. He was at 32.3 last year. Play him 33 minutes a game. It would make sense. I mean, there definitely are, like, huge stretches of games where you're like, where the hell is Lowry? And he'll be, like, on the bench for, like, 9 or 10 straight minutes. Like, why? It's like it's not like a foul trouble thing. It's just he doesn't play him enough. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
I totally agree. Like, when Markkanen had that big February last year that we talked about so much coming into this season, he was playing 35 minutes a game and averaging 26 points.
Yeah.
He has not even come close to those numbers this year at all. So really, that February looks like an aberration when we were hoping that, you know, that would be his actual value as a player. Looking ahead at the rest of the week, Monday they're at Milwaukee, Wednesday they're home against Minnesota. That could be a win. Minnesota's really been struggling lately, just traded Jeff Teague, Cat's out. On Friday they're home against Sacramento, and then on Saturday they're at Cleveland. So they're obviously going to lose to the Bucks. They've actually played the Bucks somewhat tough during certain stretches of this year, but you would expect them to lose in Milwaukee, no doubt. And then, you know, home against the Wolves, home against the Kings, at the Cavs. Jason, they could potentially go 3-1 this week.
I mean, this feels like a 2-2. They're just going to keep meandering around. They're going to lose some dumb game. I mean, the Kings are playing terrible, the Wolves are playing terrible, and the Cavs are obviously terrible. But the Bulls literally almost just lost to the Cavs at home. So, like, If they don't have Zach LaVine playing miracle, the Bulls, they would have gone 1-3 this week, and they'd be totally screwed. I would guess they go 2-2, but there is an opportunity here to go 3-1 and kind of stick around in this playoff thing. If they did go 3-1, they'd be what? What are they right now? 16-28. So they'd be back to 10 games under 500. They'd be 19-29. Like, yippee, I guess. Like, it just feels weird as a fan right now. Like, I don't want to say I was mad at yesterday's game, but just like, it feels like, as good as it is, as nice it is to see Zach play well, making this also push whatever, it just feels like they're spinning their wheels, and that winning some of these games against bad teams and doing this bum sling, it's just going to get them to a point where they think they're okay and that they've made this actual development, when it's just Zach LaVine basically going off against bad teams and then pulling out wins, and then when they actually play real competition, they lose, and it's terrible. So, like, I don't know. What would you get? Would you think they'll go 3-1, or do you think they'll go 2-2 or worse?
I don't know. They suck. 2-2 probably. I just don't see how the front office can take any satisfaction in this year. Like, the only way they could spin this positively is if they're just not being honest. And there's really been no silver linings for this year. Like, that is one reason to root against Zach for making the All-Star team, is just so that the front office can't take solace in that. I think that's totally fair. I'm not really rooting for the Bulls to make the playoffs, quite frankly. Like, I guess it would be nice for the players, but no, I don't think that management deserves that satisfaction of having a playoff team when the season has been as disappointing as it's been this year. And quite frankly, I don't think they're going to make it, even though they're only 3.5 games back right now. And they could go 3-1 this week, mostly because they've only beaten trash teams, and the three teams they've beat the most, they don't play again. So I don't think the Bulls are going to make a postseason run.
No, like I said, I said this last night, I think they end up with like 32 wins. Right now, if they're 16-28, to get there, they'd have to go 16-22 the rest of the season, which, I mean, the schedule is tough. They still have that March. The end of the season is absolutely brutal. I guess we'll see. Like, what they'll have Wendell back, hopefully. Who knows what's going on with Otto Porter Jr., but still, like, I mean, they haven't beaten any good teams basically at all this year, so that March is just a total gauntlet to finish the year. February, there's, like, one little easy stretch, but I mean, they have a lot of hard games, so, like, if they keep losing to bad teams, they're going to lose, they're going to rack up, or to good teams, they're going to rack up a bunch of losses there, but again, if they keep winning these games like last night where Zach LaVine saves their ass and they beat the Cavs and the Wizards of the world, they're going to get to like 30, 32 wins, and they're going to stay right there, and they're like the 8 seed will be like a 36-win Nets team. Like, I think that's the big, I'm not going to say I'm not rooting for them to make the playoffs. Like, if they actually turned things around and like were actually playing well and they like somehow got into like the mid to high, I guess high 30s in wins, which would take a huge turnaround, then that, I think that would, that's legitimately good. Them sneaking in like on a sub 35 win team would be, that's bad. I mean, the best you could say is, well, it's nice to give some of these guys some playoff experience, but like, you're just going to go and get worked by the Bucks and lose in 4 or 5 games. And then they're going to think everything's great. Oh, we made the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But if it's with fucking 34, 35 wins, like, that's not impressive at all. Like, most normal years, like, you're missing the playoffs by 5 or 6 games in that case. The only reason they're still in it with this terrible record they have right now is because the chase for the 8 seed is a complete joke. And after the top 6 in the East, all these teams aren't any good. So it's like, it's just whatever. Like, the bar should be higher. Like, they obviously need to take a step to before they actually think about playing a championship level. But like, I just don't know where they'd go from there if they somehow snuck in, then get swept, and then like they'll try to sell that. They'd obviously keep boiling around, and it's just like, where do they go from here? They'd still be working on that 2021 plan. Like, but like, I don't know. Like, if they're actually gonna make the playoffs, I want to see them actually earn it.
Well said, Jason. And I think that about does it for us.
Yeah.
All right. This has been Cash Considerations. I'm Ricky. That's Jason. Thanks for listening.
Oh, one final point, though. Bulls, still, we could kind of consider them financial champs, though, because I believe in merchandise, the numbers came out, and they were still, like, top 10, despite being crappy, which is, that's like a whole rant we've gone on before. The Bulls, huge brand, global brand, still sell a bunch of merchandise. Too bad they've sucked. That's why we get so mad at them. That's why we bring the fire and the passion, get angry at the Bulls, because they should be so much better than they are. The fans deserve better. We'll see. But yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.